welcome White Phosphorus Pictures owner, Montauk Chronicles producer, History Channel's Dark Files host, and upcoming host talent of Travel Channel's Strange World series, Christopher Garitano. Everyone visit mtkchronicles.com, Facebook Montauk Chronicles Movie, Twitter at Garitano7, at Bigfoot Cinema, Instagram hashtag Christopher Garitano, and hashtag Montauk Chronicles. Let's welcome him into the show.
Well, Christopher, I'm trying to unmute right now as we speak. Here we go. Christopher, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me on today.
Oh, thank you. Looking forward to the conversation.
So
I don't know. I'm happy
to
answer any questions. So.
Well, congratulations first off on the upcoming premiere of Strange World. And that is so amazing that you were able to, you know, create this show. Can you tell us a little bit about how it all came about?
Sure. So, I mean, you know, rewinding very far back when I was a kid, I mean, this has been my interest even before film was into, you know, mysteries of the unknown. Like, I was obsessed with them since I was a kid. I was completely enchanted by everything that had anything to do with hauntings or ghost stories or you know, what might be in the skies or in the galaxies beyond our realm. And it, you know, this is before I think it became saturated. And there were only a few things that I grew up watching. One was Leonard Nimoy's In Search Of, and the other was, outside of, you know, fictional takes on everything or movies, was, you know, reruns of Unsolved Mysteries. And those things really had an impact on me when I was a kid. And so flashing forward, like I got out of film school and I wanted to make a documentary about some kind of unknown paranormal subject. And I wanted to have a completely different take on it. And I want, you know, originally I was interested in making a cryptozoological picture, you know, mainly about Bigfoot, but other cryptids and other ideas surrounding that topic. And I didn't have a lot of money. And I was living in Long Island, New York, at the time. A friend of mine who was, you know, an independent producer, and I met him making my first documentary, suggested to me, he said, since you live out in Long Island, New York, why don't you make a movie about the Montauk Project? And, you know, I read it was a very short book that came out, independent book. It wasn't a very popular book at the time. In the 90s, Preston Nichols' book, The Montauk Project, and I wasn't really particularly impressed by it. I thought it was interesting, but I felt like however that book was written, it was lacking in depth. And so I was interested, but I wanted to start again from the beginning and create my own investigation on the topics. It's exactly what I did. And over a course of quite a few years, I made two versions of Montauk Chronicles, one that's out in the world right now and one that I made before that. And I really was determined to try and find out if there was any truth in the subject, because at first I didn't believe it. You know, it was a story of essentially a secret underground base on the very eastern tip of Long Island, New York. And, you know, the idea of this program kidnapping kids and taking them down there for experiments wasn't apparent in the book. It was an undertext. It was mentioned very little. And so that's the part I wanted to focus on, and that's where it started. And so I made and finished Montauk Chronicles, and it was about that subject. And I wanted to speak to the men who told the story firsthand. I wanted to talk to Preston Nichols. I wanted to talk to Al Bielek. And I did. And I heard their stories. And that's what I wanted the audience to see. I wanted the audience to see these human beings telling this story. And it became more compelling when I actually sat in front of these elderly men and they were telling the experiences they claimed to have. Now, I don't believe everything they said, but over time, I took into consideration aspects of it. And so when I finished Montauk Chronicles, you know, it was getting some attention from some press, and, you know, it was completely independent. I made it all on my own. And So History eventually took some interest in it and wanted to make the Dark Files with me and Texas Crew Productions specifically. And I did, because it was that special that I made for History Channel that I think revealed a lot of things to me that were true. You know, it was an evolution. Like, it started off as a kind of an unbelievable topic. And then as I learned about government programs like the Tuskegee Medical Experiments or Holmesburg Prison, which we explored in the Dark Files, I started to really believe that this was possible. And then during the Dark Files, we did an experiment, and that revealed specifically that there were enormous structures underneath the ground at Camp Hero, which is the base that the Montauk Project allegedly occurred. And and I think it proves that there's something that's being concealed over there. So that's how it all started for me. Travel was interested in doing something with me, and I kind of, you know, meditated on it and thought of, going back to as a kid, what I would love to do, you know, like, what's my dream project? And that's Strange World. Strange World is a variety. Every episode is a different adventure, a topic that I'm personally connected to, I've always wanted to explore, beginning with this long investigation into the Montauk Project. We start Strange World with that, segueing into every new adventure that we take throughout the season. And that's exactly what I intended from the beginning. And I suppose Travel Channel found it to be interesting enough to make it with me. So here we are.
Well, I saw the first episode. Thank you for that, Christopher. It's definitely such an amazing show, and the way it's filmed and just all the information that's in it. So you did an amazing job.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, we had quite a crew. I think everybody knew we were making something special, and everybody involved in our crew were dedicated to it beyond, you know, what I think their paychecks dictated, you know, like, they really cared. And so hopefully we, you know, the audience loves it as much as you do and as much as I do. And, you know, we'll go for a second season and make it even weirder.
Definitely. And, you know, with all of, you know, like you were talking about the variety of the show, what's your favorite episode? What kind of was your favorite storyline to work on throughout the series?
Ah, this is crazy, because I really love all of them, because they were all the topics were picked by me personally. So I really wanted to make all of them. My favorite, you know, looking at them now, because I've seen them all finished and I kind of lived them all, obviously, you know, each of the investigations, it's tough. It's really tough, Sophia, to like pick one. I really love the artificial intelligence episode. I know that's like the wild card in the bunch, but we have an episode on all of the fears, you know, that we have, that science fiction is written about, that I grew up watching, and everything from the Terminator to Blade Runner, that AI might eventually take us over. So I really love that episode. But I, again, like, I love the, we have an episode about the video game legend of Polybius. And it's a, it's an urban legend that surfaced in Portland, Oregon, about a video game that was covertly placed in arcades in the early 1980s that allegedly was designed by a secret, perhaps government program, perhaps some other faction, that put it inside the arcades to, as a test phase, to control the minds of the player. And regardless of the fact that, you know, a lot of these things we can't prove, as you know, it's like really tough, you know, but we did find a lot of supportive evidence and a lot of things that were revealing that I think are even more horrific than Polybius itself. And you'll see in the episode what I'm talking about. But then we have another episode where, you know, one of my favorite stories from Stephen King is the story of Christine. And when I heard about the legend surrounding James Dean's car, Little Bastard, I found parallels to that. He drove a Porsche 550 Spyder, which unfortunately he died in. That's the car he crashed in. But that car went on to cause a lot of tragedies and problems with other people. And so that's what we explore in the episode. We explore a little bit of the history of James Dean, the horrible tragedy that took his life, but then the car itself, there's such a mystery that follows after that. So I really just love all of these stories. And I think hopefully it'll show the audience that I'm not just some guy that was like picked to host a show, that this is really a personal thing.
Yeah, it's almost kind of like the real-life Black Mirror, you know, some of the episodes that you're describing.
Very much, and I really dig that show, too. It's, you know, I guess the difference between myself and maybe somebody that would have just been picked from casting to host a particular show, which is, there's nothing wrong with those shows, and it's just, I'm really interested in this stuff. I live and breathe this stuff, just like yourself, you know, and it's like, I've had a really strong interest in all of these subjects, and I kind of put together my wish list for season two, and they're crazy, but it's just, I just can't wait to explore these topics and go further and hopefully reveal something about these. Like, 'cause I just feel like, sometimes these shows have lost their way. When I growing up, like I was watching paranormal shows that had style and atmosphere. And I want to give to the audience the atmosphere that I feel, the suspense, the fear, the interest, the mystery that I feel when I'm looking into these things or when I get excited about these things. I want to take that texture and that atmosphere and give it to the audience. And I think sometimes these shows lack that, you know, like, because we have so many of them. So hopefully, maybe Strange World will be a success and inspire a lot of these other shows to kind of evolve and bring that back, because these shows used to be so spooky, and that's what was fun about them. You know, like there was depth to the story, and they were very, very spooky. And I think that's what people need, you know, like they on their late night and on a Saturday night when I was a kid watching these shows, I was so spooked out. And I think it sparks the imagination, and that's why we enjoy these things.
Yeah, definitely. I know, I think it was Discovery Kids or something when I was really little, like maybe four, they used to have every Saturday night, they used to call it Saturday Night Sleepover, and they would play spookier shows. I think one of them was called Truth or Scare with Michelle Trachtenberg. And, you know, those were always really interesting to me in the way they were filmed. You know, they were kind of spookier, but still okay for the younger generations. And, you know, that's probably part of the reason why I'm here today. I've just always had an interest in that stuff, even from a young age.
Sure. You know, it hits you in your formative years, and it's like you have that with you forever. And so it's like, it never left me. I just, I think it inspires even the fictional stuff that I write, you know, because I'm a filmmaker, so I'm making other things, and I have a couple of things in production right now, going forward, just fictional takes on things. And it's really these stories that, however sometimes they feel like fiction, the most bizarre thing, and like you've experienced for yourself too, is that a lot of this stuff, there's some truth to it. And I think that's what's exciting about it. And I don't think it's ever really about revealing evidence 100% in your conclusion, but more about the journey that the audience takes with you. And if you can keep it exciting and keep it interesting, and if you are interested in it, I think people join you in that enthusiasm for the subject matter. And that's, so I just care so much about what we're making, and I'm fortunate enough to have such a wonderful crew and production team that really, you know, cared enough to bring all of that to the screen.
Definitely. And speaking of, you know, your interactivity and care for the show, I don't know how much I can reveal about the first episode, but, you know, I know you went to some locations that seemed like they would be hard to obtain access to. What was that like? What avenues did you have to go through to be able to actually enter onto the premises of some of these places?
Okay, so I'm going to be completely honest about, well, the first episode was meant to revisit the topic, the mystery that I explored for a decade at Camp Hero, and then kind of move into Strange World. And this was my idea, like, without giving too much away, there is a scientist that we talk about at the very end of the first episode as we segue into the other adventures. And as somebody I read about later on, that it's a very legit scientific experiment that was similar to one of the Preston Nichols, who claimed the technology that was being used at the base at Montauk. He claimed that this stuff existed. And I did further research and realized that it's almost tantamount, 100% similar to what Preston was describing, which again gives this somewhat fictional tale that Preston was telling for years some weight. Now, going to Camp Hero is another reason to suspect that there's something going on. Now, I between The Dark Files and Strange World, I did an episode of Ancient Aliens, and we were supposed to go down there and do another investigation. I didn't want to revisit this topic unless we could do more. I felt like The Dark Files was the best example of evidence for the Montauk Project ever, period. Like, it was, we were able to actually go there with geophysicists, take readings of the ground, look deep into the ground and find structures. No one ever did that before. I know people brought equipment there, but they didn't find anything. And we had electric resistivity imagery where we actually found structures. So going back there again, I felt like was pointless if we couldn't look further, if we couldn't bring more equipment there. And when I did Ancient Aliens, they completely resisted and didn't allow us to go. Going to Strange World, we had permits to go, but as you saw in the episode, there's a lot of resistance, a lot of monitoring, a lot of watching us and keeping us away. We didn't have permission to bring certain equipment there. Look, if there's nothing there, then why can't we take a reading and just prove there's nothing there? I believe 100% there's something there. This great guy, Brian Minnick, who was also in The Dark Files, he is in Strange World with us and shows us, once again, the evidence that he showed us in The Dark Files, plus other things that I'm not going to discuss at the moment. But, you know, all of that collectively reveals that there is something that happened there. Now, I'm not saying 100% that I confirm that there were extraterrestrials at the bottom of that base, that there was reverse engineering of alien technology or time travel experiments. But what I truly believe is that there is something being hidden, that there is a secret lab underneath Camp Hero. There's a giant structure underneath there, and there's a lot to hide. One of the most revealing things that happened when we were making The Dark Files was that there, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers just showed up one day, like out of the blue, this big operation in the middle of the winter to keep us away from the base. I mean, everything was just so obviously deliberately done to keep us away and keep us away with that particular equipment. And we were being heavily watched while we were making Strange World. So I'm about to, I think Strange World is my last Montauk investigation. I have a fictional take on it that I've been writing and probably will produce as a series. But Strange World, the first episode, is my final investigation. I do encourage anybody to kind of take what we did in The Dark Files, what I explored in Montauk Chronicles and in the first episode of Strange World, and go further with it. You know, go to where we left off and continue if you should dare. But I think there's a lot to hide over there.
Definitely. I think so many, you know, there's so many secrets out in the world, whether it's, you know, military bases or just, you know, ancient ruins hidden in jungles. I mean, there's so many things left undiscovered that, you know, are still can be found. So it's really amazing to find what's out there.
Yeah, I, you know, sometimes I think about this and it's like at one point it's exhilarating and it fuels that imagination that we had as kids going forward into any mystery. Sometimes these things are dangerous, though, and we don't really consider the consequences of this. So I think in Strange World, even though it's done in a playful way at times, we certainly acknowledge the danger in playing with this stuff. And I think so that it's a different perspective because as a kid, it was like I never really thought about the consequences of, let's say, a ghost hunt, right? And if you go in into somewhere that it's suggested that it's demonically possessed. And if you believe in that stuff, and again, like I've had my own personal experiences with a haunting. So I believe that there's something other than us out there. I don't know exactly what it is, but
mm-hmm.
if we go into a place that families have fled, let's say like the Amityville Horror House, which I grew up only 15 minutes away from, you know, going in there, aren't you worried about, and I'm asking you this question, are you worried
mm-hmm.
about what might attach to you if you go into a place that's, you know, perhaps has a really dark energy about it?
Yeah, I would say I would be. I mean, I lived in a haunted house, so I definitely, as much as I love the paranormal, that's not an experience that I would ever want to have again. You know, not all home hauntings are bad. Mine wasn't good, though. So, I mean, during every investigation, there's a worry and a fear that, you know, you can bring something home with you. I mean, every investigation, it's just, I mean, the part of the problem with the paranormal is it's hard to do it scientifically because there's variables, I think, to spirits, but it's also nothing solid. You can go to a very dark place with so much energy and capture nothing. And the next night you can have like the worst possible thing happen and, you know, have something attached to you and follow you home. I mean, it's so fluid and changing all the time just based on what the spirits feel at that point in time, that it's kind of hard to know what you're walking into every time you go on an investigation. I mean, when you investigate, you can be punched, slapped, scratched, burned. I mean, there's so much that can happen to you, even besides an attachment that's not good. And besides, you know, the paranormal aspect, going into certain abandoned locations, you have the physical dangers of, you know, floorboards breaking and everything. So when investigating, there are a lot of dangers, but it's also amazing to kind of find out the unknown aspects of it.
Right. And it's that element that is so fascinating to me that draws
mm-hmm.
people like us into this. And even the audience, you know, gets to experience this with us, is because in reality, let's say it was a physical presence, like a regular human being, we would never go into a place where we would get scratched and burned and hurt
mm-hmm.
if there were just regular people there. But because of that fascination with the unknown, we dive right in and allow this stuff to happen. I mean, you know, some people just won't touch it. I mean, I had an experience where, and again, I don't know what it was. I can't claim it was a ghost or all I know is there was something not human and something not of this world when I was 14 years old. I heard it for two nights in a row. It was like this weird whispering, and it happened in two different locations. Never happened before that.
Mm-hmm.
Never happened again. It was a very real thing. And there was one other time much later when I was living in Michigan, I saw an apparition, and I clearly saw a woman walk from one room to another and then disappear.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not like I sit around and hallucinate every day. I don't do drugs. You know, it's like,
mm-hmm.
this is just something that I experienced. You know, do I know it was a ghost? I'm not sure. Could be peeking into another dimension. Could be something else that we're just not aware of that maybe one day quantum physics could explain entirely. You know,
mm-hmm.
I think science and the paranormal are merging right now. And that's exciting. And I think in Strange World, we're going to explore that even more. You know, kind of that kind of purgatory between the paranormal and the unknown and science. I think it's just such a glorious place to explore, you know?
Yeah, and I think, you know, a lot of that comes from technology. I do know we have to take a quick commercial break, though, but we'll be right back with more questions.
Hey, this is Zach Bagans from Ghost Adventures, and you are listening to the ghost host, Sophia Temporilli, on liveparanormal.com.
Hello.
Thank you again so much for coming on today, Christopher.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm always happy to talk about this stuff.
Well, I know before the break we were talking, you know, a little bit about the paranormal, but I know you were also telling me that there are a couple paranormal related or more specifically ghost related episodes on the show. Are you able to tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. I'll try to talk about it in a general sense. So, you know, the idea was to keep a variety and never repeat ourselves, and always have, you know, depth and style and atmosphere. We had these, you know, two great cinematographers that shot all the investigative stuff, Ryan Rood and Nate Horowitz, mm-hmm. and those guys are amazing. And they were so dedicated. And so the look of the show is very different than anything. So each topic and the photography and the movement and composition and music, you know, Crystal Cordero composed the music. Like, we really wanted to give the audience something different. Kind of going back to mm-hmm. the way the shows were originally, where they would kind of really set this tone for you in this atmosphere and draw you in. You know, no offense to the other investigative shows. It's just, I just feel like we need to take pause for a second and kind of do something different now. So that's what we're doing. And so every episode is different. So it ranges from, you know, revisiting Montauk and going into the work of Dr. Michael Persinger, which is a very real version of some of the experiments that Preston Nichols talked about at Montauk. That's our first episode. To the story of James Dean's car, Little Bastard, the one that he unfortunately died in, and the odd events that happened after the accident. So many things happened. This car went on mm-hmm. to cause more chaos, and so we completely try to hunt down, because the car disappeared almost 60 years ago. So the episode is, you know, I'm looking for this car and genuinely looking for it and getting very close to finding it, and I'll say no more. Then moving into mm-hmm. topics like the fear of artificial intelligence taking over, which is a very rational fear. I mean, the guests on our show are incredible. I mean, we have, you know, Nobel Peace Prize winners and people who worked for DARPA, and, you know, getting an insight into what's really happening. So it's that, like I was saying earlier, it's that line between fiction and reality, and we're dancing on that line constantly with this show and really exploring yeah. the possibilities. Now, we do have an episode about hauntings, but I wanted to look into specifically cursed ground. You know, why, mm-hmm. how, if we really think about it, you know, America, large in part, and this has been explored in literature for years and ideas, but a lot of our hauntings could be caused by the fact that, you know, the United States or a lot of part of the world is structures are built over graves. And at times, mm-hmm. you know, we've heard these legends for years of desecrated burial grounds, especially in the United States, Native American burial grounds that have been disturbed, or even old slave cemeteries like the Black Hope haunting. You know, these are ideas that I really have always been interested in looking into. Shifting gears again and going into what happens at the witching hour, you know, the traditional time between 3 and 4 a.m. And I've had experiences at that time. And so in that particular episode, we go into a sleep clinic and actually see what might happen to me while I'm sleeping at the witching hour, and other things, a lot of other things happen in that episode. So, so many different topics, shifting over to some legends that surround Mount Shasta and so many people that mysteriously went missing mm-hmm. over the years. And it's not just, you know, us particularly walking around Mount Shasta contemplating the most fantastic aspects, but we do look into very practical things, going to law enforcement, search and rescue, talking to people about what happened, talking to relatives of the missing in that particular area, because there's a lot of weird stuff that happened over there. And things that baffled the most seasoned experts, you know, people that have really worked on the case and that were there. And I think, I don't mean that they disregard paranormal or mysterious, but it's not part of their everyday focus.
Yeah.
And that they agree that something odd is happening over there. And that's exhilarating and also really scary too, because, you know, going deep mm-hmm. into it, there are times in the show you'll see that I really partake in a lot of things. You know, there are technologies that we explore in the show that I grew up reading about in fiction that were written in yeah. science fiction years ago that are now very real. And so I want to continue to do that. And, even, you know, as we go forward, you know, the plan is that this show has longevity, that we have many seasons of it. You know, my promise is that I'll stop doing it when it's no longer interesting and no longer fun. But I think we have the potential to make many seasons of this and explore topics and bring a lot of ideas to the table. And I never want it to be repetitive or monotonous. And hopefully that's what we made.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, with you talking about AI and stuff earlier, I mean, I think part of things that people never dreamed of were like VR gaming systems where you actually are more immersed in the game. You know, I was talking to my grandma one day in the car who was born in 1936. I go, Grandma, I bet you never imagined when you were little having a little tablet that you could do everything on, which is, you know, her phone, just like being able to call people, message people from it, use a calculator, check the time. I mean, you know, being born so long ago, I don't think anyone could have ever imagined the way that technology was able to progress.
Sure. And the thing is, it's like, it's so weird. Like if you look back at Stanley Kubrick's 2001, A Space Odyssey, the movie was, I think it was made in like 69, 68. They had iPads in that movie well before they were ever invented. And so I wonder, are we, you know, are science fiction writers seeing into the future? Are they prophets, you know, like Nostradamus? They're just modern prophets. You know, so many things that, like, there's an episode that I really want to do for season two of Strange World, that Stephen King wrote a story that I think is a very rational fear right now, like something that was almost like a B movie in 1986. And, you know, he turned it in, it was the only movie he ever directed. But I think going forward, this is something we really have to worry about, which is just crazy. And it's like, you know, all these things in fiction, you know, we grew up saying, okay, well, this is just out of someone's imagination, but is it possible that people are just channeling things in the future? Or is it that we imagine these things and now we're inventing them and we have this glorious power and intelligence to make things real? I don't know, but that's what I want to continue to explore with this show.
Yeah, definitely. You know, and with games, video games like Detroit Become Human, I mean, that game is, you play as an android, you know, trying to seek rights to be more of an equal, because they are so highly intelligent of a computer that they actually are able to gain feelings. And, you know, I think that something like that could have a potential. I mean, I don't know how far in the future, but I don't see why, with the way the world's going, that someone wouldn't be able to create an android like that at some point in time.
Well, I have to tell you, we have an episode where I talk to an android.
Wow.
I talk to an AI android. I speak to her, she speaks back to me, and we do explore that. And we explore VR. Like I have an Oculus Quest, and I really want to create a cinema experience. Well, you have to get one. I want to create a cinema experience in the VR world, because I think it's an incredible thing. Like I'm addicted. I mean, I love it. I'm addicted to it. I think in a good way, not in a bad way. Like we explore the addiction to video games and how they can be a detriment. But this VR stuff is different. It's amazing. But then again, we don't know what's being put in our head. So one of that particular topic we do explore in an episode of Strange World. And this is the weirdest thing. And I'll just say it as a line, because you'll see it occur in the show, and this is very real, is that we will have simulated telekinetic abilities in the virtual world. And of course, so many different, I mean, in Strange World, in an episode of Strange World, I'm actually able to move things with my mind in one of these episodes in the virtual world, not in the physical world.
That's so cool.
But not using a controller, yeah. And this technology is going to be available in Oculus, I think, within 2 years. And so that's how exponentially we're going forward with these technologies. And I'd love to get in on it, because I feel like, you know, virtual reality is an incredible place to explore so many things, but I think cinema will be saved. You know, it's so expensive to go to the movies and bring a whole family there, or even just go out on a date to the movies. It's expensive. And the virtual cinema, you can go every night and, if, you know, you can meet people in the lobby. Like, they have an app in the Oculus where you can actually walk into a movie theater lobby, speak to people from other countries or wherever, and then go into a theater together and watch a movie, and you really feel like you're in a theater. It's crazy. And just to see where this is going to go is exciting but scary at the same time, because I was in one of the theater apps watching a movie. Mm-hmm. I was talking to this guy, and then all of a sudden this other guy comes floating over and he's touching everyone's heads. And I'm like, what is happening here? I think right now it's harmless, but as we go forward and these things become more real, what's going to happen in the virtual world when it comes to invaders, people who want to mess with your head? What if these things are connected mm-hmm. to us? You know, like Elon Musk is offering something called Neuralink, where he's basically saying, oh, we're going to harmlessly drill a hole in your head with a laser, put a port in, and now you have this extra brain. Now you don't need to hold a cell phone in your hand. Now, if I want to communicate with Sophia psychically and talk without, you know, opening my mm-hmm. mouth, we can do that. And that's weird. And that's where we're going. And so a lot of these topics are explored in the show as well. So I love the paranormal, but I also love weird science. And there's a lot of weird science in Strange World.
Yeah, I mean, that would be amazing to be able to do through your head, but there's no way I want someone drilling into my head. I can injure myself just fine.
No.
If I get a hole in my head, I mean, that's on me, no one else.
It's not happening. I'm not doing it either. I'm happy to use the virtual reality systems, but nobody is drilling a hole in my head. I don't care how you sell it to me. It's not happening.
No, I mean, that's... It kind of reminds me of Total Recall, the newer version where they had the cell phone in their hand, and Colin Firth actually had to cut it out of his hand just to be able to escape, you know, the whole system. So, I mean,
sure.
Yeah, that's just creepy. I mean,
yeah,
you could probably hack into someone's head too, which is, yeah, I don't need that.
Well, here's the thing. It's like, so going into the fear of artificial intelligence, there are some people that claim the only way we're going to compete with AI once it comes to self-realization, because it will happen eventually, they will be walking around. They're going to be smarter than us, stronger than us, faster than us. And so for us to prevent ourselves from becoming obsolete, the idea is we're going to have to start enhancing ourselves. So what they're saying is, well, we don't want holes in our heads. We're not going to be able to, we're going to be this kind of weaker, obsolete race, because there'll be artificial intelligence. There'll be the cybernetic humans that have enhanced themselves so we don't get taken over by AI. And then there'll be the humans like us who just want to stay natural and say, well, we want nothing to do with this. And as crazy as it sounds, and these topics have been touched upon in science fiction for years, I can only estimate that it's going to be very close to what I'm talking about. Like, mm-hmm. this is where we're going.
Well, if things keep going along the line of science fiction, I mean, technically the ones who usually don't have the chips or anything are the ones that kind of start the revolution. So I'd kind of rather be on that side.
We're going to have to start the revolution then. We're going to see it in our lifetimes, because it's happening quickly. Very quickly. And especially with the virtual thing, you know, Oculus did mm-hmm. so well this year that that was what they were trying to achieve, you know, like, and that's what's going to propel this forward and make it more commonplace and also increase the technology. On one hand, these things are exciting. There's so much to explore in there. It's amazing. You know, it really is. And it's only going to get better.
Mm-hmm.
But the question is, and here's the fear, who's behind it all? What's the purpose? This is where paranoia comes in. And this is where all that science, mm-hmm. those science fiction stories like Total Recall come in. Like, can it have an effect on us? And so once again, like, topics we explore in this show are those very questions. We see technology that there's a good reason to worry. You know, like, I'm not going to get into too many more details because I want people to see the show, but we see some technology that's being developed in a university right now that will blow your mind. will completely blow your mind. It's right out of Total Recall. It's right out of science fiction.
Well, it's definitely such an amazing show, and everyone make sure to check it out. I know we're coming towards the end of the show, though, so are there any websites, upcoming interviews, events, or upcoming productions that you would like to mention?
Really, I'm just, you know, I want to talk about Strange World. It's something that I'm so grateful that actually happened. Upcoming things, yeah, there's definitely some stuff in the works for sure. And all related to the topics that I love. So I have probably too early to talk about it. But really, I mean, I have a graphic novel coming out later in the year called South Texas Blues that was originally published in Fangoria magazine some years ago. And we're Trevor Cook, the artist, and myself are putting out the graphic novel this year. So in short, it's the story of a really crazy fantasy based off of what happened on the set of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. So it's a lot of fun. But outside of that, Strange World, you know, August 11th, watch it. It's a personal journey for me. I love the show. It came from a dream that I had. It's everything I wanted it to be, and hopefully you enjoy it.
Well, I want to thank you so much for coming on today, Christopher. It's been great talking to you. And again, congratulations so much on Strange World.
Likewise. Thank you so much.
Thank you again, Christopher.
Yeah, thank you, Christopher.
Have a great weekend.
Yeah, it's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com. Fantastic show today, Sophia.
Definitely. Christopher was such a great guest. I want to thank you all for listening.